Thank you so much, Elder Daniel. And everyone, would you join me in thanking the Lord for having these young men loving the Lord, loving God, and investing the time and the talents that the Lord has invested in them to serve you and edify your faith. Let's thank the Lord. Hey, on a personal note, as a pastor of a church, I just love it seeing young men on fire for the Lord. Amen? Thank you. Let's do the memory verse. Why do we do the memory verse together collectively, weekly, as the body of Christ, collectively? And that's because in Scripture, we get to know Jesus, right? The memory verse from last week, Daniel in the lion's den. I believe it's chapter 6. Okay. Now, for the benefit of our first-time guests, allow me to do it first, and the second time around, we all do it together. Daniel 6, verse 27. Who's speaking, by the way? King Darius, the king of Babylon, after witnessing that God of Daniel rescued him from the lion's den, this is what he said, okay? A pagan king. He rescues and he saves. He what? It's a verb. He ponders. He what? He provides. You know what? I forgot. What's the P word? Aviana, don't let me down. Aviana, you got the Bible. I think he ponders. He what? Huh? He performs. Thank you. Who said that? Nathan? Ethan, you get 2 servings at lunch. He performs signs and wonders in the heaven and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the powers of the lions. Okay, now let's all say it together. Daniel 6, verse 27. He rescues and he saves. He signs and wonders in the heaven and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. Thank you. Daniel chapter 6, verse 27. Here's this week's memory verse coming to us from Luke chapter 19. The very words of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And he spoke these words to Zacchaeus, to the crowds, and to you and me. Let's say it together. Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Luke 19, verse 10. During this series, Unlikely Heroes, we are asking all the children to stay together. So each Sunday is a family Sunday. Why do we do it that way? Number one, so that children, we may disciple, impart sons and daughters of the congregation how to worship God intergenerationally. Number two, to teach the rest of the adults how to worship the Lord intergenerationally. Now, as a communicator, as a pastor, as a teacher, that's a daunting task. I mean, look. How old are you, Xander? 7. What? And I won't ask, but the oldest man in this room is above 70. So think about the age gap. Think about the Bible knowledge. We have seekers. We have seasoned Christians. The various different range of the demographics, the knowledge of it. For a pastor, that's a daunting task. So I'm so glad I'm not preaching today. So Pastor Eun-hye, please come forward.
So now there is pressure on me, right? So there is 7-year-old Xander, and there's, we don't know who they are, but the people over 70. But you know what? God's word is for everybody, for the little one, for the old one. And let's see how the Lord is speaking to us today. And I don't know whether you remember that I preached about two characters in the Bible. Both times they were narrative sermons. Anybody remember? That means that I pretend to be character in the story and preached from their perspective. So I dress up and pretend to be Mary, the mother of Jesus. And then later I preached about, anybody remember? That's good. Yes, I'm glad somebody remembered Naomi, the mother-in-law of Ruth. And today I'm preaching about Zacchaeus. And I'm so glad that I'm not preaching a narrative sermon. And I don't have to dress up like Zacchaeus and pretend to be like him, right? So I'm so thankful. And now I invite Agnes to come to the front, and she will read God's word.
So keep your eyes on the screen, because don't only listen, you got to watch. Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. There he is. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, I can identify, because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He's gone to be at the guest of a sinner?" But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back 4 times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost."
Thank you. This is the word of God. Thank you, Agnes. Let's pray together before opening the God's word. Lord, thank you so much for giving your word to us. Holy Spirit, open our ears to listen to your word and touch our hearts to experience the power of your word. May our heart be good soil so that the word of God will be planted and bear much fruit. In Jesus' name, and everybody says together, amen. And if we want to use the sermon notes, you can scan the barcode and follow along. And this is very well-known story. And if you grew up at church, you probably hear the song that Zacchaeus was a wee little man, a wee little man he was. He climbed up to the sycamore tree because the Lord he wants to see. Do you remember the song? Yeah, how about the kids? Have you heard a song before? How about the story about Zacchaeus? Maybe you learn about him in Kids House, right? And today we'll learn more about him. Isn't it wonderful that we can learn God's word together with mom and dad? We will learn how Jesus sought out Zacchaeus, who had a very bad reputation in the town. And we'll also learn how his life was changed after he met Jesus. So this is our theme and goal. So let's read all together. Jesus invites us just as we are, but our lives will be transformed when we accept him. How about kids? Let's only kids, or kids in your heart, maybe. Let's just read all together. Jesus invites, oh, we have only one kid here? I'm sure we have more than one kid. Let's read all together. Jesus invites us just as we are, but our lives will be transformed when we accept him. Thank you. The Bible says that Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. Now, this makes us wonder, what is important to notice that Jesus was entering Jericho? And what does it mean that he was passing through? So if he was passing through, what was his final destination? You see, at the time, all adult Jewish men were required to go to Jerusalem 3 times a year. The Festival of Unleavened Bread, also known as the Passover, the Festival of the Weeks, also known as Pentecost, and the Festival of Tabernacles, also known as the Feast of the Booth. So Jesus was going through Jericho on his way to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, the festival to remember the freedom from slavery of the Israelites when they were delivered out of Egypt. Do you remember the story of Moses and his famous saying? Let my people go. Remember that? Yeah. Jericho was an ancient city. That's the picture of Jericho, an important and wealthy city in the time of Jesus. It was known as an oasis city, a place of refreshment with a mild climate and freshwater spring. So it wasn't like the other part of the Israel. It was very, very greenery place. So it was called the City of Palm Trees. And it was a significant location for people traveling from east or north on the way to Jerusalem, as it was a great place to rest and replenish supplies. So when Jesus entered Jericho, there were so many people following him. Many residents of Jericho had heard about him as curious. And there were many other travelers heading to Jerusalem for the Passover. And many of them had also heard about Jesus and wanted to see him. Jesus was like a superstar that almost everybody had heard about. Who is the biggest superstar nowadays? Oh, yeah. I look up her, actually. She has the most influence. And how about other famous people you admire? Oh, yeah, she's big. Maybe one more name. But I don't think, you know, people will follow him. But anyway, so Jesus was like a dual sports star. So his popularity and with fame, so many people just followed him. You can imagine a big parade of people around Jesus as he entered Jericho. And the whole city of Jericho was excited with great expectation. people were following Jesus expecting that something big would happen in Jerusalem. Maybe this Jesus was Messiah, the anointed one, who could save their nation from the oppression of the Romans. One like King David, who could bring political freedom and make the nation strong again. So there was a big crowd of people following Jesus. And if you were in Jericho, you couldn't have missed the news that Jesus was going through town. Everyone was talking about him. And now, there was a man who had heard about the news that Jesus was in town, and he wanted to see him too. Maybe he heard about Jesus, especially about his teaching and his miracle. Like everyone else, he wanted to see Jesus for himself. What was his name? His name was Zacchaeus. The Bible mentions who he was in verse 2. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. When Pastor Victor and I served a church in Michigan, one of the new church members was talking to a young boy, Micah, who was maybe about that time 4 or 5, and he asked, "What is your daddy's job?" And Micah said, "He is a tax collector." Well, his father was actually an accountant. So even though an accountant deals with taxes, it was very, very different to be a tax collector in the time of Jesus. Many tax collectors were Jews who worked for the hated Romans who oppressed the Israel. So many people consider tax collectors to be traitors working for the enemy, you see. Since tax collectors were not paid an actual wage by the Romans, they were expected to collect extra money and keep some for themselves. So many tax collectors were dishonest and kept some for themselves. Because they skimmed off top, they became very well-to-do. That's why the Bible mentioned that Zacchaeus was wealthy. It also mentioned that Zacchaeus was not just a tax collector, but he was a chief tax collector, so had even more chances to get more money from other tax collectors below him. I'm sure if you live in Jericho, you probably had heard about Zacchaeus, the notorious chief tax collector. And now, this Zacchaeus, the traitor with the worst reputation in town, came up to the road to see Jesus. The Bible mentioned one more thing about him. Not only he was a chief tax collector and a wealthy, but he was also short, vertically challenged. I'm guessing that he was very short and shorter than an average adult man. So even though he went out to see Jesus, he couldn't see him because of the crowd. There may have been people who saw Zacchaeus in the crowd and pushed him aside. But his desire to see Jesus was bigger than the problem of being short. So Zacchaeus did what Jewish men didn't do. He did two things. He ran, which a Jewish man would never do. Only kids and slaves ran, certainly not a dignified adult man. And second, not only did he run ahead down the road, but then he climbed into a sycamore tree. So thankfully, it's a huge tree, but it's easy to climb up because branches is kind of lower. So he climbed up that kind of a sycamore tree. unthinkable. Can you imagine a rich man climbing up into a tree with his expensive outfit? However, Zacchaeus' desire to see Jesus was bigger than worrying about Jewish custom. If we literally translate the Bible passage in Greek, it says that he was seeking to Jesus who he was. So Zacchaeus' curiosity was not like, oh, I want to see the famous rabbi, the miracle worker, how he looks like. No, no, no. He was seeking to Jesus because he wondered who the Jesus really was. Was it really the Messiah that people talk about? Was it really the one who would become a friend with a sinner like him? Was it really the one who would forgive sin, something only God could do? Zacchaeus had so many questions about Jesus, and he was seeking to see who Jesus was. Now, the story continues that Jesus was indeed passing by the road where Zacchaeus was up in the sycamore tree. But then, the most unexpected happened. Right under the very tree that Zacchaeus was in, Jesus just stopped suddenly, right there in the middle of the road. No one in the crowd knew why, but I'm sure they all stopped abruptly too. What was going on? And there was Jesus standing in the middle of the road, looking up, up in the sycamore tree, when, of course, then all the people look up too, wondering, what on earth was going on? Can you imagine Zacchaeus with hundreds of eyes staring up at him? How embarrassing. But Zacchaeus didn't have time to think about everyone's eyes on him. His heart almost stopped when he realized that Jesus had stopped and was looking up at him. Jesus was seeking Zacchaeus right there, up in the tree. And then he said the famous word. What's the famous word? Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. Okay, let's do it all together. Maybe, you know, kid, you can sound like a Jesus voice. I don't know how Jesus' voice sounds like, but let's pretend. Maybe adults, you can do it too. Let's do it, okay? Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. Good job. Thank you, everybody. That's what Jesus says. And I'm sure at that point, Zacchaeus almost fell out of a tree. It was shocking enough that Jesus had stopped and was looking at him, made his eye contact with him. But now, he called his name. How did Jesus even know his name? How ironic that Jesus called him by his name, Zacchaeus. The name Zacchaeus means pure or innocent one, which implies being clean. In Jewish culture, the naming of the baby was very important. And I'm sure that when his parents gave the baby boy the name Zacchaeus, they wanted their son to live a pure and clean life as God's child and a proud descendant of Abraham. But Zacchaeus' life was far from what his name meant. And it's possible nobody called him by his actual name, well, maybe except his mother. People may have called him traitor or betrayer. Maybe shorty, ugly, or a sinner, but not by his name. But now Jesus looked right at him and he called his name Zacchaeus, pure and innocent one. You might wonder how Jesus knew Zacchaeus' name and the fact that he was hiding in that very tree. But you see, Jesus is both human and also divine. That is, he is also God. And in his God power, he knew Zacchaeus' name and exactly where he was. And more than that, Jesus knew that Zacchaeus was interested in him. He knew his heart. It might look like it was Zacchaeus who was seeking Jesus, but it was actually the other way around. Jesus was seeking Zacchaeus first. Jesus didn't need to go through Jericho to go to Jerusalem, but he chose to go through Jericho because he was seeking Zacchaeus. Jesus says that he called his sheep by name. John 10:3 says, to him, the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Jesus called Zacchaeus by his name, just as a shepherd called his sheep by name. Can you imagine how Zacchaeus must have felt when Jesus called his name? And this is not the end of the story. Jesus dropped a bombshell saying, I must stay at your house today. I can imagine people thinking, are you kidding, Jesus? Do you know what kind of guy he is? Oh, you must know his reputation. Are you still going to his house today? But what about all these people following you today? What are you going to do with them? Aren't you going to teach them or show them some miracles? If you need a place to rest and to have a meal, there are many good and godly people willing to invite you to their house. But really, really, the house of a sinner. Well, that's what exactly people said. In verse 9, we read, all the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. Can you hear the crowd muttering and grumbling to each other? But Jesus, our Jesus wasn't concerned about muttering of the people because he knew what he had to do, what was more important. So he invited himself to the home of Zacchaeus. He said, I must stay at your house today. He did not say, I'd love to go to your house, or it would be nice to go to your place, or can I? No, 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 no. He said, I must go. In the original Greek text, it means, it is necessary that I go to your house today. It is an imperative sentence. You can hear the urgency in the voice of Jesus. In this sentence, I see a picture of a shepherd who left 99 sheep safely in the sheep pen and went out to find one lost sheep. Jesus was a good shepherd who knew that Zacchaeus was lost sheep. He wanted to make sure that this sheep was found. Zacchaeus was wandering and straying sheep, and Jesus needed, he needed to find him and bring him safely home to his sheep pen, his kingdom. Yes, it was necessary for Jesus to go to the home of Zacchaeus to reveal himself to Zacchaeus and to build a relationship with him. And we read that Zacchaeus was happy to take Jesus to his home. He came down from the tree immediately and welcomed Jesus gladly into his house. And I don't know when the last time that Zacchaeus had a guest who wasn't another outcast. The text said that Zacchaeus gladly and joyfully accepted the self-invitation of Jesus. He ushered Jesus into his house in spite of the grumbling and muttering of the people. His joy having Jesus over to his house drowned out what people were saying. We don't know. Jesus went to Zacchaeus' house. We don't know how long Jesus stayed at the house of Zacchaeus. It might have been a few hours or maybe all day. But one thing we do know for sure is that the time he spent with Jesus and the conversation they had changed Zacchaeus' heart. It changed his life. Zacchaeus got to know who Jesus was. And in front of everyone, he said, "Look, Lord." Can you see that he acknowledged Jesus as Lord? "Here and now, I give half of my possession to the poor. And if I've cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Wow. Before Jesus found Zacchaeus, what do you think was the most important thing in Zacchaeus' life? Maybe recognition, maybe money, maybe he was bullied because he was really short. Maybe he was treated unfairly. Maybe nobody recognized him for who he really was. Who knows? Maybe his life experience led him to become a tax collector where he could become rich. He may have thought that money could give him power over the people who mistreat him, that the money could give him the security that could provide protection and even political favor with the Romans. However, after meeting Jesus, his identity was changed and his life was transformed. He found out that the money was not his identity, nor were his security. So he was willing to give it up and to make things right with others. He was willing to give away half of his possession, half of his wealth, and to pay back four times more to the people whom he had cheated. Actually, the Jewish law required to pay back two times more than what you cheated. But Zacchaeus went all the way to pay back four times more. What would you have seen on his face when he made this promise? Would you have seen pain in his face at giving up the wealth he had accumulated? Would you have seen a gloomy face because he felt like he had no choice, that he had to do it as an obligation? No, I don't think so. I think you have seen his bright and happy face when he declared his promises. He had found Jesus and experienced a relationship with him. And Zacchaeus realized that was more valuable than anything he had, even his money. Notice, Jesus didn't ask Zacchaeus to give up his money, nor demand that he change his lifestyle. But Zacchaeus did both willingly, with a joyful heart, because Jesus had come to him and he was found by Jesus. Zacchaeus became a son of Abraham. Well, actually, physically, He was already a son of Abraham since he was born as a Jew. But now he also became a son of Abraham spiritually by believing who Jesus was. No. He didn't get salvation because he was willing to give up his wealth, but because he had received the gift of salvation through Jesus. And that changed his heart and transformed his life. This is our theme and goal. And let's read one more time all together. Jesus invites us just as we are, but our lives will be transformed when we accept him. Jesus came to seek a sinner like Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus didn't need to change first to meet Jesus. No. Jesus met him where he was, and he initiated a relationship with Zacchaeus first. Jesus knew who Zacchaeus was, and he called him personally by his name. And Zacchaeus met Jesus, and he couldn't stay the same. Meeting Jesus had changed his heart, his thought, his values, and his priority. Jesus came to Zacchaeus where he was, and he is coming to us where we are. He is still seeking the lost sheep. And are you a lost sheep who hasn't met Jesus and doesn't have a relationship with him yet? I want you to ask yourself, am I a lost sheep who Jesus is seeking right now? Jesus already knows who you are, your joys and sorrows, your delights and also your pain, your comfort and struggles. And he is calling your name. He is calling your name. He is inviting himself in your life. In Revelation 3:20, Jesus says, "Here I am. I'm standing at the door and knock." Jesus knocking the door of your heart today. And Jesus says, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. Do you hear the invitation of Jesus? He's knocking on the door of your heart. Can you see the picture? And can you see there is no doorknob outside? Jesus is not pushing your heart. He is just knocking. But it is you who have to open your heart. His invitation is ageless. Jesus wants to have a relationship with you, whether you are young, still in school, or older, or in the workplace. His invitation is given to every mom and dad, or grandpa and grandma who haven't met Jesus yet. His invitation is given no matter your circumstances, whether you are smart or not. Whether you are rich or poor, single or married, have a job or not, are healthy or not, he is inviting you today. He is telling you, I must stay at your house today. I want to enter in your heart and your life. I'm knocking on the door of your heart. Would you open it? So that we can have a relationship together. Jesus came to seek you and invite himself to your house. to your heart, but you have to agree to open the door and to usher him into your heart, just like Zacchaeus did. Today is the day of salvation. Don't delay. Don't hesitate. Jesus came to seek you and save you. Because in verse 10 says, for the Son of Man, that is Jesus, came to seek and to save the lost. So this is the application. Do you have a relationship with Jesus? Did you respond to the invitation of Jesus? Ask to yourself. Now for those who have already met Jesus and already have a relationship with him, I want to ask yourself, so how has my life been transformed? And is it still being transformed because of Jesus? Just like Zacchaeus, you don't have to be perfect to meet Jesus, but meeting Jesus will affect your life so that you will want to do the right things. Too often, we think that salvation is just something that happens on the inside. But here we see how Zacchaeus' encounter with Jesus affected his whole life, not just his heart, but also his behavior. When you encounter Jesus and accept him as your Savior, you can't be the same person you were before. The Holy Spirit will begin the work of transformation in your life. What is the most important thing in your life? Money, your appearance, school, the approval of others, your motherhood or fatherhood, your social position, your job. Those can't be number one in your life anymore. Because once you meet Jesus, you will know that Jesus is more precious and important than any other things. What are you struggling with in your life? Your ungodly habits, like lying, cheating, misleading others, grumbling. Or are you struggling with an addiction? Only you know what is not in keeping with how God wants you to live. When Jesus is in your heart, do you think you can keep doing ungodly things? Is there anything that needs to be changed and transformed? Transforming sometimes can happen immediately, but most often it takes time. It takes many little steps, walking with Jesus every day, trying to follow and obey his ways. It takes listening to the nudging of the Holy Spirit. Everyone who meets Jesus will be changed and transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. It might be immediate or it may take longer, but one thing for sure is that we will be changed in our thoughts, our words, our behaviors. Can I see a picture? That's Pastor Victor and I are dancing together. Well, maybe not. The guy has full hair. Yeah. And I'm not a very good dancer. Well, you might have guessed that. But when I go to a wedding, I sometimes dance with Pastor Victor. Even though I'm not a good dancer, I know that one person has to lead and the other person has to follow. So when I dance with Pastor Victor, who leads? Pastor Victor leads. Yes. Pastor Victor leads, and I follow. That way we can enjoy the dance together. What would happen if Pastor Victor leads in one direction, but I don't follow and I want to a different direction? Or Even though I know the passive victor is leading, but I try to lead. Can you imagine? We couldn't dance together. We can dance together. And if passive victor leads and I follow, we could enjoy the dance. But if I don't follow and I try to lead the different direction, we can't enjoy the dance together. Holy Spirit is nudging our hearts and invite us to dance with Him. And who is leading our life? Who is leading to dance in our life? Who? Me? No. Then who is leading our life like dancing together? It is Jesus. That's right. Holy Spirit is leading and inviting us to dance with Him. The Galatians says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with His passion and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with Spirit. That means let's keep dancing with the Holy Spirit. So this is second application for the people who accepted Jesus. You can ask this question. Are you still being transformed because of Jesus? How is the Holy Spirit nudging your heart? And let's think about one thing. Just one thing that you can stand up in front of Jesus, like Zacchaeus, and tell Him, Lord, this is the area I need to be changed. Think about one thing, just one thing. What is one thing you can tell Jesus? Lord, I will. And you can fill that blank. The Holy Spirit extending His hands to you and asking, shall we dance? Let's pray. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, thank you for seeking us when we are lost. You have a reckless love for seeking your lost sheep. You are calling your sheep by name. And I pray that your lost sheep will respond to your calling and invitation as Zacchaeus did. So friends, do you hear Jesus calling your name? Do you hear Jesus knocking on the door of your heart? If you have never made a decision to invite Him in, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus yet, today is the day of your salvation. If you want to respond to the invitation of Jesus, I ask you to quietly pray, Lord, thank you for seeking me and calling my name. Thank you for inviting yourself into my heart and my life. I want to welcome you in and to have a relationship with you. Come into my heart and be my Savior and my Lord. And to those who have already responded to the invitation of Jesus at one point of your life, I want you to ask yourself how the Holy Spirit is nudging your heart. How does the Holy Spirit lead you to live a life of transformation? A little by little bit every day. A little by little bit every day, we should be changed and transformed because we met Jesus and the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding us. What area of life are you surrendering to Jesus? What area of life Are you surrendering to Jesus? Dear Lord, thank you so much for your word through the story of Zacchaeus. Thank you, Jesus, for being our true hero who saves us and continue to be with us. In Jesus' name, and everybody says together, amen.